9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock. Good morning. John Munson sitting in for Joy Cardine today. Well, the big news yesterday in Washington, the opening of hearings, looking into the activities of a private military contractor, Blackwater, among others. And yesterday, Blackwater Chairman Eric Prince was pretty vigorous in his defense of his private security company, and he rejected charges that his staff acted like a bunch of cowboys immune to legal prosecution while protecting State Department personnel in Iraq and Afghanistan. That was their mission. Others had a different characterization of what happened at the hearings. We're not really here to discuss all the details of every argument and things that came up at the hearings. The topic this hour has more to do with the role of Blackwater in Iraq, and should Congress rein it in, and some of the political implications of these hearings and of our use of paid military contractors. And to help us kind of parse this out, we have a guest political analyst, Robert Seibert, professor of political science at Knox College, who joins us by telephone this morning. Good morning, Professor Seibert.
Morning, John.
So the we had Congress on the big stage with all the TV cameras pointed at them and so forth, and everybody bringing out their big guns, and here's Eric Prince sitting in the witness chair basically denying that anything had been wrong. And it sometimes, to me, that seemed to just stop people in their tracks. So they're kind of like, what? There were some spirited exchanges. Sometimes the discussion was very partisan and seemingly off topic. When all is said and done, when the dust clears, what does this all mean? I mean, we've got these hearings. Congress, Henry Waxman's committee is trying to do some oversight here. But what's going to come of this, and what will the fallout be? I guess those are the main questions we want to talk about this hour.
I think this is an important moment in the public discussion of the American military, not just the idea of the American military in Iraq, but whether or not our military has adequate resources, is adequately sized to meet the mission requirements that we impose on it. And I think that the large number of contractors that we use in Iraq and in other places is a reflection of the fact that the Army is really too small for the responsibilities we place on it. The idea of mercenaries themselves is not a new idea, and it's been around since warfare has been around. There are some flips and twists in this that are a little bit different. The role of corporations themselves in providing these kind of services is different. In the old days, and I'm talking about the Roman Empire and things, and the French Foreign Legion and things like that, individuals presented themselves for sale to governments. But in this case, now we have a corporate mediation of that, and that does change things. It's going to be a very interesting and important argument over the next few years.
Well, you would in the past, you would supplement your armed forces with trained mercenaries so that you didn't have to pay for a standing army all the time. I mean, heck, in the American Revolution, the British were using a lot of German mercenaries, the Hessians, as part of their force in America, because their military was stretched with conflicts and things elsewhere.
Absolutely. And a lot of the European powers, and not just European powers, mercenary employment is a fact across the globe. But one of the things you can do with your mercenaries is send them to places that you wouldn't send your citizen soldiers, really bad kind of military situations, and ask them to do things that would cause you a lot of political pain if your regular soldiers were doing them. So, I mean, it's a way of avoiding some of the darker sides of distant and dangerous service.
Well, and it also provides you with perhaps some political cover or a way to some plausible deniability. Well, they exceeded their contract or whatever. I mean, the secretary will disavow all knowledge of your conduct.
Right.
You have something to hide behind then.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, you know, in this particular case, our contracted security personnel are outside either the military chain of command or the local indigenous legal frame of responsibility. So one of the first things we did when we went into Iraq is exempt American personnel from Iraqi law. So that puts these contractors, who are not part of our formerly part of our military, in a kind of limbo or unregulated kind of space. And that's when we get these kinds of dust-ups and problems, that like the one that pretty much prompted this hearing in Washington.
Well, and interestingly enough, I think you're referring to the September 16th incident.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't even being discussed at the hearings because it's under investigation by the FBI.
Mm-hmm. It's being discussed in the press pretty vigorously, however. And to give you just kind of an idea about this, Blackwater is contracted by the U.S. State Department in Iraq. And they assigned one of their own members to write the initial public report on this, so that Blackwater was commissioned and paid to write the report on this incident itself. And that just suggests how independent these operations can be.
We're talking about military contractors in general, Blackwater specifically, this hour. You can join our discussion. There's still a line or two available for you. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Is the toll-free number. If you're in Madison, please use 263-1890. I'm John Munson. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 17 after 7, John Munson in for Joy Cardine this week on the Ideas Network. Well, here's what's coming up later on. The U.S. Comptroller General is traveling across the country on a fiscal wake-up tour. After 5 this afternoon, Ben Marins and his guests discuss the difficult choices in budget, tax and health care reform facing the United States in the 21st century. 5 bonus points if you can name the Comptroller General of the United States. Well, I'll give this one to you. It's David Walker. So now you can amaze your friends with your knowledge. This hour we're talking about military contractors in general and the genesis of this particular discussion, the hearings into the activities of Blackwater USA, which started yesterday in the House of Representatives, and some pretty sharp exchanges between members of the panel, particularly Democrats and the CEO of Blackwater, and then some member-to-member exchanges toward the end of the day as things started to get a little partisan. And we can talk about some of the political dynamic of this as well. My guest by phone is Robert Seibert, professor of political science at Knox College. Here are the numbers you can use to get involved with our discussion, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, toll-free. In Madison, please use 263-1890. Let's go to the phones and take a call from Ray in Milwaukee. Ray, good morning.
Good morning to you and your guest. After watching this hearing yesterday on TV, I was so outraged. My blood was just boiling listening to that guy talk and how smarmy he was. I have 2 basic statements. The first one is, if this multimillionaire gentleman that runs Blackwater knows how to run a company, you run a company by growing the company and expanding the company. That is how corporations work. What incentive would he have running that company to see any war anywhere around the world come to a conclusion? They want it to fester. They want these problems so that they are presumably needed. You see what I'm saying? So they have a profit motive for continuing this war. And if people in this country aren't outraged by this, I don't know, are we all asleep? And the second point is, what on earth makes them think that their soldiers are worth 4, 6, 10 times the pay of a U.S. soldier? I work in a union in Milwaukee. The reason we have unions is so that the guy standing next to me doing the exact same job is making somewhat similar pay, not double, triple, or quadruple. That is what made this country strong, and how a U.S. soldier could feel right fighting beside a guy making $1,250 a day when this soldier, when he gets home, he's got to fight for his benefits, and his family is probably living on food stamps. We should be marching in the streets over this issue alone.
Okay. If I could respond to a little bit of
that.
Go
ahead.
I think there's no doubt that companies like this benefit from war and conflict. It's true all over the world. Fortunately, most of them are not in a position in which they can make the decisions that create those conflicts or extend them. That's usually the precinct and prerogative of governments and larger kind of movements. So they're really kind of opportunistic you would probably call them bottom feeders in this particular kind of case. And they do, in fact, make big money on it. The particular corporation we're talking about, Blackwater, 5 or 6 years ago was not doing very well at all. But as the Iraqi conflict spun up and they started contracting to the government, they've become a pretty much a profit center, and they've done exactly what you said. They've expanded and grown their corporation and extended its value pretty dramatically. There are many, many, many corporations like this in the world today, and many of them are populated by people who have formal government military training, move out of that and into the private sector because they can make more money. And they get those kind of figures largely because they go in and do nasty jobs in dirty places. Dirty, I simply mean under difficult circumstances, as in Iraq, and because the government is willing to pay them to do that. Government contracting is not a particularly rational process, and when you get into government military processing in time of war, many of the standards and the requirements of traditional contracting go out the window. So it's it works both sides. I understand that Blackwater charges up to $1,200 a day for its security personnel in Iraq, which is about $500,000 a year it works out for one of their security personnel. And that would seem to me to be excessive, but then again, they're risking their lives.
Well, and to be fair, it's kind of like when you take your car to a dealer to be fixed, you might pay, I don't know, $50, $60, $70 an hour or more, but the mechanic isn't getting that much.
Right.
Because that includes the overhead of the contractor and so forth. The point that Mr. Prince made in the hearing when Henry Waxman challenged him on the cost, the report that Congress had suggested that the Blackwater security people were costing six times the cost of a U.S. soldier, Mr. Prince responded by saying, well, wait a minute, you're not including the expense that the government had in training that soldier before he or she ever got to that situation. And that was his point, was that, look, you know, this money that we're charging includes all the training we provide, and that's the whole package. And you have to count the amount of training that the U.S. soldiers get as part of their cost as well. Is that a fair comparison?
Well, it's a good point that he makes. And, in fact, the government has done a lot of the training for the Blackwater people that are there. So, in a sense, that some people could argue that should be recovered investments from Blackwater. And it's not the only place in which government training benefits the private sector. Airline pilots, for instance, largely come out of military, or used to come out of the military experience, would receive million-dollar educations there and then turn around and get $200,000 salaries. I realize those figures have changed now as the airlines have squeezed down, but the point is still comparable and valid, I think, that many corporations live in a world in which their primary benefactor is the government, and the government's not particularly careful. One thing I heard in the hearings yesterday was a chorus of, these guys are worth it because they protect congressmen when they're in Iraq. And I think that, you know, that gets kind of the personal heart of many of our representatives in Washington. They're willing to take the heat off of Blackwater because they think they're personally safer when they're making their trips and their investigations in Iraq.
Let's take a call next from John in Delafield. John, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning to you. Just sort of a quick comment on the topic this morning. I think, you know, obviously our forces are stretched too thinly, and there's a, you know, and sort of a strategic or economic imperative, and there's a reason that these organizations are providing services that are purchased by the government. Your guest and you have cited a number of them. We just don't have enough people. But I think some of the criticism has maybe gone a bit over the top, including the previous caller talking about the pay differentials and so forth. Look, we have an all-volunteer military. People are not conscripted into service. And I've even seen comparisons to Hitler's brown shirts and Mussolini's black shirts, and I think it's a bit irresponsible. These people are providing a valuable service, and as noted, they're risking their lives. So anyway, I'll take your reaction off the air. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the call.
I would agree with most of what he has to say there, no doubt about it. And I think the bigger question is the nature of the American military, whether we should have more of a citizen army than we do, whether we should have a draft again, should we be more equitable in sharing the burden of this kind of thing, which gets to some of the tax questions that are floating around now as well. So there's a whole series of questions that we really need to address as a nation over the next decade, and that are acting out right now in Iraq.
In terms of the hearings themselves, and these so far the hearings have focused on the supposed bad deeds of personnel working for Blackwater, but do you think that at some point we'll get done scoring points on each other here and actually get down to taking a real look at the needs of our military and the best way to meet them?
If I can rephrase the question, do I think
in
election year that our delegated and elected representatives are going to get really serious about tough issues?
No, I withdraw the question.
Yeah, thank you. I think 2 years down the road they may have to do this again.
This all feeds my cynicism, which is not a good thing. I guess the other thing, you take a look at the focus right now is on Blackwater and the security services mm-hmm. they're providing, but there are a lot of other private contractors in Iraq doing things that the military used to do for itself. For example, their food services
and
logistical support, these mm-hmm. things all used to be handled by the military for themselves, by themselves, and now we've privatized that part of it, and it seems to me that was a conscious move on the part of the government. It didn't just happen.
Well, we've had 6.5 years of an administration that believes privatization is one of the heavenly mandates of power and government, and they've been busily doing this wherever they can. And they would have by now, you know, privatized Social Security if they had had their way. So I think, you know, this whole program is largely congenial with administrative perspectives on life and political reality.
I want to sneak in another call before news time, and we may not get to the response, but I want to get the question in here. And Richard in Butler, you're on the air, and let's keep it short. We've only got about a minute.
Anyone that doesn't think that this is a war for profit has got needs to have their head examined. I guess the question that I have to ask you is that how is this war paid for? How are this Blackwater people paid for? In other words, you know, Congress, the weak need Congress just gave another $150 billion to fight this ridiculous war. Is that $150 help pay for Blackwater? Is that how it's paid for, or is it paid for differently? That's my question. But I got to echo the sentiments of the caller previous to the last one. The last one making the excuses. You know what? Donald Rumsfeld said we went to war with what we had. He didn't tell us that he was going to take the war another 200,000 mercenaries because maybe we wouldn't have voted for the war then. So you know what? That excuse that we need them is just a bunch of crap. Thank you very much. But I want to know, how do we pay for these guys?
That's an important question, and I'd like us to get to it, but I've only got 30 seconds until we have to get to a news break, so I think we'll hold the response. I'll make a note of it so I don't forget, and we'll hold the response until after we get done with the news. We're going to update you with the news in just a few seconds. First, let me give you the phone number so that you can join our discussion if you'd like. 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number. 263-1890 is the number to use in Madison. What do you think about private contractors being involved in military campaigns? Give us a call and let us know. I'm John Munson. This is the Ideas Network. 7:35 on this Wednesday morning. John Munson in for Joy Cardine this week on the Ideas Network. This hour we're talking about military contractors in Iraq and in general, and Blackwater as a specific example of a contractor. Of course, a hearing started yesterday into Blackwater's activities in Iraq, and there were a number of heated exchanges. We're trying to analyze some of the political fallout or implications of some of this, what's coming out in these hearings and so forth. We alluded before the news to the fact that it is an election year, and so you're going to get more than the usual amount of posturing. Just before the break, we had a caller who had a question about how these contractors are being paid and if that is being reflected in the budget. My guest by telephone is Robert Seibert, professor of political science at Knox College. And Professor Seibert, do you know how these contractors are paid for?
I think out of general revenue funds. I don't know the routes through the bureaucracy that they take. since it's State Department overseas money, I suspect that the State Department has some discretion about how they do this. In another sense, the way they're paid is that we borrow money from the Chinese and redirect it to them through the instruments of American government. That's basically how the war has been paid, by selling bonds abroad and then taking that revenue and using them for current expenditures.
But when I'm guessing that for example, there are three different security firms being used by the State Department in Iraq right now. Blackwater is simply the largest, and so it's the nail sticking out of the board. But these are contracted by the State Department. I'm going to guess that when the president brings forth an appropriation request to Congress for money to fight the war in Iraq, that's separate from the State Department's budget.
Right.
And it may not be reflected in it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's somewhere in the budget. The budget, of course, is the size of a New York phone book, and tracing these things down is very difficult in it. And I suspect that this is a privileged corporation in the sense that I doubt that they have to go through a lot of hoops in order to get their money. I wouldn't be surprised if they get periodic lump sum distributions instead of the kind of money we would get for contracting, which is a monthly or on a project kind of basis. These guys are important to the personnel of the State Department. There's no doubt about that. And I think they want them happy and well-maintained. So,
Didn't the State Department used to have its own protective services? I forget
does.
What they were called. So they still have them, but they didn't feel they were adequate to the job, or what?
Well, you remember in the days gone past, you'd had a Marine contingent at an embassy, and they'd be stationed out front, be a uniformed Marine in the in an office at the outside of the embassy, and you'd have to go through there to get in. But since the late 1990s or mid-1990s, embassy security has gone way up, and they've added to it in many cases by contracting for it.
Let's take another call. We'll go next to Linda in Monroe. Linda, thanks for holding.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Professor Seifert.
Morning.
I agree with your first and third callers. Now, I've been hearing about violations about Blackwater since President Bush's been in office, indiscriminately killing people and the cost overruns. They're still lying about these issues. Now, why should anyone vote for any Republican that tried to cover up what was taking place under their leadership? There was no oversight on these issues until the Democrats gained control in the last election. Please comment, and then I have a follow-up.
Well, all right. My basic comment is a kind of a poli-sci 101 lecture, that when the legislature and the executive are both from the same party, that one of the first casualties of that is the function of oversight in the legislature. So I think it's pretty much a normal kind of thing. Sometimes there's a little buzz of investigative activity at the start of an administration, but as things get comfortable and one hand washes the other, one of the first casualties is oversight. And so, I wouldn't just lay that out on the Republicans. I think it's been a characteristic of the American political system for a long time. And if the Democrats succeed in getting a hold of both the presidency and the legislature next time around, we'll be complaining about that probably 3 to 4 years downstream.
What's your follow-up, Linda?
Well, do you blame the Republican-controlled Congress or the president for these problems?
Mostly the president. Mostly the whole theory of the privileged executive. The executive privilege, where they think basically they aren't, constitutionally responsible to the legislature.
Well, President Bush has said he is the decider.
He is the decider.
Let's go next to Carl in Superior. Carl, good morning.
Good morning. There's a lot of discussion right now about Blackwater in Iraq, but I wonder how many people are aware, and what's not being talked about is Blackwater's role in New Orleans immediately after Hurricane Katrina. I went to New Orleans a while after the hurricane to help clean up, and you hear stories down there. And Blackwater was the first forces deployed into New Orleans after the hurricane. And so if Blackwater is responsible for, 200-plus shootings in Iraq, 80% of the time they shoot first, how many American citizens did they kill in New Orleans when that whole thing was going on? And I also have to disagree with the previous caller. The Democrats could have called for investigations, made a big deal out of Blackwater back in 2004 when four Blackwater bodies were being dragged through the streets of Fallujah. But they did, you know, that this is politically expedient now, so now they're talking about it, and I don't believe anything's going to actually get done.
Thanks for the call, Carl.
Yep, I'll take
Does that call for a response, or do we move
on? You can
here?
If you want to.
Well, I just want to say, I would bet, I don't know the details on this, I would bet that Blackwater's presence in New Orleans was probably a private affair. That is, some corporations bringing them in to protect assets. Then again, I could be wrong about that. It would be an interesting question to pursue sometime.
Let's take a call next from Ben in Green Bay. Ben, good morning.
Good morning. I just want to reiterate that the government pays for the training of both the private security forces and the military, and then pays the security forces way more than the troops once they get there. And on top of this, there's been many reports and interviews and videos that are available to describe the contractors like Halliburton KBR that run empty mm-hmm. trucks back and forth to Baghdad and charge the government, and they bring these trucks out there without spare tires or oil, and if they blow a tire or an engine, then they just blow the truck up and send the bill to the government because they don't have to pay for it anyway.
Yeah. One of the first casualties of war is waste. And, you know, there's a lot of that takes place there. And there's no accounting for it, no justifying it, but it happens. It happens everywhere.
I don't know that I would want to be on some lonely road in Iraq changing a tire on a truck. That doesn't sound too appealing to me. Let's take a call next from Mike in Madison. Mike, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Mr. Munson, can you tell me why you and Wisconsin Public Radio continually misrefer to Blackwater as a military contractor and not the more honest term, mercenary, like your guest does?
You know, I really must be part of the vast right-wing media conspiracy. I have no idea.
Well,
that's what I had in my notes. I apologize. I'll try and correct that.
Thank you.
In your defense, John, mercenary is a much heavier loaded term than contractor.
Well, they're referred to as contractors in most of the news reports, and very rarely is the term mercenary used, but I will take Mike's comments to heart and try and use both terms whenever possible. Let's go next to Dave. Excuse me. No, we're not going to do that. I just noticed the clock. We're getting pretty close to weather time. I don't want to get into another call and then have to cut that off. We do have some lines available if you'd like to join us this morning. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. It's a toll-free number, 800-642-1234. If you're calling us from Madison, you can use our local number, 263-1890. 263-1890 is the number to call from Madison. You can also send us an email. The email address is talk@wpr.org. We're talking this hour about military contractors or mercenaries, however you want to term them. You can call them whatever you like. More importantly, what are the political implications now for the hearings and so forth that are taking place, and the questions that are being raised about these private armies being used in Iraq, and what will be the fallout of this? If you'd like to join our discussion, please do so, 800-642-1234 or 263-1890. We'll be back in just a moment to continue our discussion with Professor Robert Seibert, Professor of Political Science at Knox College. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7:47. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson in for Joy Cardine this week. Later on today, after 2 on Talk of the Nation, examining multiple personality disorder. The new book, Switching Time, is the story of how one woman, abused as a child, created 17 different personalities to survive. That's after 2 on Talk of the Nation here on the Ideas Network. This hour, we're talking about the hearings into the activities of Blackwater USA in Iraq. They were under the microscope yesterday in Congress in front of a House committee. And we're kind of talking about some of the political fallout of that and analyzing what went into the decision to use a company like this. And perhaps we can talk about what may happen in the future as a result of it. You can join our discussion if you'd like by calling 800-642-1234 or 263-1890. The lines are all full right now, but I'm sure one will be opening up soon. I wanted to mention something that I found in one of the news reports. The United States Senate on Monday gave final approval to a defense policy bill that included the establishment of an independent commission to investigate private contractors operating in Iraq and Afghanistan. The bill needs to be reconciled with a similar bill passed in the House and faces a veto threat from the president for some unrelated matter that's in the law. But the vote was 92-3 to have more oversight of what private contractors are doing in Iraq and Afghanistan. Sounds like members of Congress have kind of gotten the idea that it would be a good thing if they paid attention to what was going on.
Absolutely. A lot will depend on who they put in there.
Well, that's true, too. Now, before we go on, I want to just make sure that there isn't anything inherently wrong in the government hiring companies to do certain work that they don't want the military to do. I mean, I don't think that's not what we're suggesting here, is it?
No, I don't think so. But I do think we're suggesting that when the government hires large numbers of contractors to do things that the government itself should be doing, then it's problematic. Generally, the costs go up, the effectiveness goes down. And what I dislike about the contract for military services is that it takes soldiers outside the chain of command and reduces their supervision and control. And they become then much more independent kind of units that can get into the kind of trouble we've been talking about here. I don't like that at all.
Let's take a call from Dave in Wanakee. Dave, good morning. Thanks for calling us today.
Good morning. I'd like to know if Blackwater was involved in interrogations at Abu Ghraib and if part of their interrogation policy was performing things like sodomizing inmates and forcing, say, a father to have sex with his son as part of an interrogation. Did Blackwater do any of that?
I can't answer your question. I know that there were people there. I mean, I just don't know the answer. I know there were people there at Abu Ghraib who did things that are odious, and that the people responsible for the prison didn't know really who they were or who they were working for. There were obviously representatives of different intelligence agencies, but there are lots of those out there. And there very well could have been contractors, but I don't know the details of that.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything in any of the news reports, any of the reports I read to prepare for this morning's broadcast that suggests that they were there. But interesting, the Abu Ghraib has become kind of a watchword for scandal in Iraq. I mean, it's been a while since that's been in the news. But does this current dust up over the accusations of excessive use of force by Blackwater have the potential to become another Abu Ghraib in terms of the kind of impact it would have in the public and in the news media?
Well, it's having that impact in Iraq itself. The Iraqi public is just furious about this. They don't like the idea that American soldiers and contractors are not subject to Iraqi law. They don't like the fact that they're using the analogy of the Westerner, the cowboy out there shooting first and not even asking questions later, just rushing around doing this kind of thing. So the political consequences on the ground in Iraq are likely to be very substantial. And it's growing here. But I don't see it becoming as iconic an image and a problem as Abu Ghraib has been, and there's just so many kind of images of outrage that we can maintain at a given time, you know, and Abu Ghraib has stood the test of time to some degree. I don't know how far this one's going to go.
Well, one of the comments that was made yesterday, I think it might have been Henry Waxman who made this point, or it was another Democratic legislator, was that Blackwater's activities and the things that were going wrong with what they were doing was actually undermining the campaign of General Petraeus to get the Iraqis to cooperate with the U.S. in dealing with the insurgency.
Absolutely. And if you want to get a really negative view of Blackwater and private security agencies, just talk to senior military command in the United States, and they will tell you, you know, that they don't like this. They don't like them there. Generally, they don't have a high regard for them, largely because of the management of their skills and power.
Let's take a call from Bill in River Falls next. Bill, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I stayed up last night and I watched the replay of the hearings on CNBC, and a couple of things were interesting. But I'll just ask my questions here. My main question is this. Is side of the money, who's on Blackwater's board? Who perhaps would be a government insider that would direct this growth of $200,000 in contracts in 2002 to $1 billion in 2007? People profiting on war is nothing new, and it's been happening forever, but I would be very interested in to see if there's any congressional oversight that they could do to peel back the onion and find out who's getting paid.
Thanks for the call, Bill. It's kind of a bad cell connection. I don't know if you could hear all of that, but
I take it the question is, can we really get serious about digging into this? Is anybody going to do that and bring the process into sunlight? And, you know, I think probably we can look to journalism to do that more so than government itself. I was going to point out that, you know, a lot of these incidents and processes are fairly well known to our legislators, but they're presented to them on a security basis background, and they're not supposed to talk about it. There's a handful of leaders on both parties in the House and the Senate. They get very deep security briefings on the condition that they don't talk about it publicly, that they just kind of bring those perspectives and influences into the congressional deliberations. They know what's going on. The question is whether it's going to kind of percolate out to a more public kind of visibility. And I think where that's more likely to happen is with investigative journalism of the type that Seymour Hersh does, for example.
Let's go next to Rob in Radisson. Rob, good morning.
Good morning. Just a comment of historic importance at this time. These contractors are just an extension of what President Eisenhower named so well in his farewell speech. He called them the military-industrial congressional complex. The most important word in that phrase was left out of President Eisenhower's speech, congressional. It's where all the money for contracts and war is appropriated.
Thanks for the call, Rob.
Yeah, I would agree with him.
Okay, let's take another quick call from Linda in Argyle. Linda, go ahead.
Yes, hi. I would like to recommend to your guest and also to your readers the book Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army by Jeremy Scahill. He was a guest on this program a couple of weeks ago, and he's an investigative journalist who has really, really done his homework. So that's one thing. The other thing is that I'm concerned that not enough attention is being paid to the domestic activities of Blackwater, who just a few months ago opened a training facility in Mount Carroll, Illinois, which is maybe 50 miles from your previous caller in Monroe, maybe 60 miles. And it's a very secretive kind of thing. They have contracts to train people in the Chicago Police Department, Illinois State Police. They deeply discount their rates for training little local yokel police departments. And I'm very concerned about the militarization of the training of domestic law enforcement people.
Okay.
And whether at some point when Blackwater, the war gets to be over and Blackwater comes home, you know, and if people do take to the streets, as a previous caller suggested, if they will then be turned against us.
Well, let's let our guests have a chance to respond. We've only got about a minute and a half left here.
Well, quickly said, as wars burn out, the corporations will look for other profit centers, and I suspect, I haven't read the book that the caller refers to, that terrorism will be the next great cash cow for these corporate mercenary operations.
Well, law enforcement agencies have been using private contractors for training and so forth, and certainly Blackwater existed before the Iraq War was there, and private companies can hire security contractors and so forth. There's nothing, I don't know, it depends on who you are, but it doesn't seem all that sinister that would happen.
If you put those trends together with the Patriot Act kind of mentality, I can see how people get nervous about it.
Well, that's true. We got about 30 seconds left. What will these hearings that are being held now accomplish?
Unless and until the legislature gets serious about addressing the real questions of the Iraq War and getting beyond simply kind of electoral posturing, probably very little. I think the process will go on, because as long as we stay in Iraq and Afghanistan and put troops in other places on a less public kind of basis, the military and the government will need these guys. And as long as they need them, they'll fill that hole.
And that's where we'll leave it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Professor Seibert.
You're welcome.
Robert Seibert, Professor of Political Science at Knox College. Program was produced by Leo Duran with on-air production by Karen Prager. I'm John Munson for the Ideas Network.